Greetings, friends, family, and fellow saints saved by grace. This is Dan Kraft of Stirred Not Shaken Ministry, bringing you the April of 2021 update. This ministry is dedicated to putting the spotlight on erroneous doctrines that have infiltrated the church, and we also bring to light issues in the news that get twisted or buried by the liberal media. Our intention is to keep you informed and aware so that you won't be misled into developing erroneous attitudes concerning issues of our day. In a world full of deception, this in turn will help prevent us from burning time, energy, and the focus of our lives. The enemy of our souls would like nothing better than to distract and mislead us into wasting the time given to us by a patient and loving Father God. It is my hope that we use our time righteously and not waste it, as Jesus told Saul, kicking against the pricks. This ministry, like an alarm clock for the church, is crying, "Wake up, saints! The time is short, the door is ajar, and our King is coming back." Now, this month I have again with me SNS team member, Brother Mike Large, who studied constitutional law at Penn State, and he will be giving us his keen insight into what is happening in the legal arena and how it affects the church at large, along with individual Christians. Okay, Mike, how you doing, my paisan brother?
Well, I'll tell you, it's been a tough winter. You know, we've all dealt with some illnesses, still dealing with the COVID lockdowns, and it's been really tough, but hey, you know, we continue to press on. We continue look to the Lord and be encouraged, because we know that the King is coming back, brother.
Amen to that, and thank God he's had his hand on us. Listen up, my fellow blades of grass. Both Mike and I have been dealing with issues and are not quite as organized as we usually are, so, you know, bear with us. Mike, do you want to give an overview of what we'll be looking at, or should we dive right in?
I think we should dive right in, because there's two pieces of legislation in Congress right now that I know the Lord is just sitting up there on his throne just shaking his head.
All right, man. All right. You ready?
Yes, and I think we need to attack these right away.
All right. Question one. What is the Equality Act?
Well, the Equality Act, as proposed in Congress, would further complicate the 1964 Civil Rights Act, where the original Civil Rights Act of 1964 furthered equality by ensuring that African Americans had equal access to public accommodations, material goods, and so on. The Equality Act would further inequality by penalizing everyday Americans for their beliefs about marriage and biological sex. Similar sexual orientation and gender identity laws at the state and local levels have already been used in this way.
Wow. You let me know when you... All right, buddy. The Equality Act. Not so equal, is it?
No, it's not.
All right. Question two. What are the four things Christians should know about this act?
Well, when you're looking at it as a whole, okay, the Equality Act, what you're basically doing is you're taking one point of view, okay, and you're ramrodding it down the entire public's throat, saying this is the way, this is the only correct way to think, this is the only correct way to act. You know, when you get into that kind of territory, it's really dangerous.
It's like legalizing political correctness.
Exactly. And what we're beginning to see, what's really dangerous is this is an outright attack on the church. They're no longer being sneaky about it.
Well, how so? Can you expound on that a little bit,
buddy?
Well,
okay, so the dangers of the equality. I'm having trouble getting
choking while you're saying it. Yeah.
Exactly. You know, gender equality. There's four things that that Christians should know about the Gender Inequality Act, and the first one is, okay, it endangers the church. Okay. Among many things that the Equality Act endangers, the church is one of them. If if it passes, and it's already passed in the House and it'll go to the Senate, churches will no longer be able to hire someone based on their beliefs. What this means is that a church cannot deny hiring someone because they are an atheist or because they live a life that contradicts a church's beliefs. This also means that churches, like all other institutions, will not be allowed to segregate restrooms or locker rooms based on sex, a move that could increase the risk of young girls and women in public or shared restrooms in all venues, not just what's out there in the public.
So this is an issue that's been coming up now for a while. They want to make this federal law, right?
Yes, yes.
This is and this is what we get for voting in liberals.
Yes. This is this is the result of it. According to Greg Baylor, the Alliance Defending Freedom, which, you know, I've been trumpeting that organization for years. I mean, they do outstanding work in the legal community as far as protecting religious freedom.
Right.
what he says, the Equality Act is also set to repeal the Religious Freedom Act of 1993, a bill that was actually signed into law by Democratic President Bill Clinton.
Okay.
But don't be fooled by that because it was signed by Bill Clinton. He was hammerlocked into signing it because of Congress.
Okay.
You know, Congress was like, you know, you need to sign this bill or you're not going to get certain things passed.
Okay.
You know, it was kind of like a deal being struck. This means that people will no longer be able to use religious-free exercise as a defense for their actions. Okay. For example, if a church declines to allow a gay couple from holding their wedding in their church because it goes against your religious beliefs, the church could be subjected to legal action. Now, according to Focus on the Family, if the Equality Act passes, the same will be true for other organizations as well, including adoption agencies, wedding venues, florists, bakers, and photographers. And we all remember the famous case in Colorado, right?
That's still ongoing. It seems like it keeps popping up.
Yeah, basically, they just keep resuing him, and they're trying to wear him down.
Jack Phillips.
Yeah, Jack Phillips of Masterpiece Cakes.
Yeah.
That guy shows incredible courage. He is not backing down, you know.
Yeah.
The second thing, you know, Christians need to be aware of is it encourages the suppression of religious freedom. According to The Hill, the Equality Act moves to elevate the protection of LGBTQ,
whatever,
alphabet, yeah, people over people of faith. So what you're doing is setting one class above another class. So where's the equality in that?
There is none.
There is none, exactly. So if enacted, the Equality Act will prevent religious people from denying a service, employment, housing, or public accommodations, among other things, to LGBTQ persons, despite the fact that homosexuality contradicts their religious beliefs. An example of this would be, like we talked about, Masterpiece Cake Shop case, where Jack Phillips was deemed within his First Amendment right of freedom of religion when he declined to make a wedding cake for a gay couple. The Equality Act would have deemed Phillips' decision discriminatory. So if they get this passed, he's going to have to fight this all the way up to the Supreme Court.
Yeah. He's either going to have to give up his business.
Or his beliefs.
Or potentially go to jail. Yeah, or his beliefs, yeah. Yeah. And we can't. God's word is not something that we can vacillate on. We can't fluctuate on, well, I'm going to follow this one today and that part not tomorrow. It's
insanity. And basically, you know, and what you're always fond of saying, and I loved it from the first time that I heard you say it, is that the Bible and Scripture is not a buffet. You can't pick and choose.
You can't.
You either take the whole thing or you don't take any of it at all. You know, and that's something that has stuck with me throughout the years when, you know, as a new Christian, you know, walking through the minefields, and it was like, okay, you know, can I compromise on this value or belief for maybe some short-term pleasure or short-term gain? You know, and it took me a while. And I still wrestle with it.
Yeah, it takes all of us, man. We're wrestling, but we the bottom line is God's word is true, and we're sneaky.
Yes.
We try to get around. We try to lawyer up.
Yes, we do.
Well, Lord, you said don't do this, but you didn't say don't do that, you know, which we all know were screw-ups. But anyway, continue, brother. Yeah.
So Alliance Defending Freedom's Sarah Kramer summed up the effects of the act on religious people by putting it simply. In a statement on the ADF website, Kramer wrote, "Essentially, the Equality Act gives people of faith an ultimatum. Change your faith-based practices or face government punishment." You know, that's frightening. You know, when you hand over your religious beliefs to a mob, you know, what's next after that?
You know, it's just insanity.
There has to be a bulwark somewhere that has to stop.
It's got to stop. I mean, you know, Mike, we keep doing these things, and it's just, it seems to be we're locked into a downward spiral. And yeah, even though we see it and it seems hopeless, we still have to soldier on. We still have to press on in Christ and be salt and light to this world. We have to represent Jesus no matter how bad it looks, right?
Exactly. You know, and we have to do more than the words of Peter, you know, when he says, Lord, I won't forsake you. And the rooster crowed.
Yeah.
And it was a whole different story. Yeah. So we have to take that example, you know. Peter's failing there, and we have to be strong. You know, we have to remind ourselves that eternity is forever.
Yeah,
When we're standing before the Lord on Judgment Day, you know, we can't sit there and say, "Well, Lord, you know, just for the sake of convenience, we let this one go without a fight." You know, that's
we're going to have to answer for some things, and that
it's I have just enough to answer for. I don't want to add that to the list.
That's what I always say. I got enough on my plate. I've already done the Peter thing. You know, I can't throw a stone at anybody, but we need to man up. The church needs to man up, or cowboy up, what the expression used to be, especially the guys. Jeez, man. But anyway, brother, go ahead.
Okay, the third thing it will do, it will obliterate women's rights. While the LGBTQ community might feel like there is something to celebrate with the Equality Act, feminists, both radical and liberal, are actually speaking out against this legislation. The Equality Act is seeking to make gender identity a covered category under the Civil Rights Act of 1964. By doing this, the protected category of sex is being eliminated. This means that all of the strides women have made in society to advance women's rights and protections are going to go out the window. You remember the big flap 30 years ago, Title IX in college women's sports?
Make everything equal. Got rid of a lot of men's sports by that, using
to do that, right. Yeah. Now, that's going to be in danger. So, all the energy and time and passion that it took to enact Title IX.
Yeah.
By the, you know, stroke of the pen, law of the land, judicial fiat.
It's insanity.
Yeah.
By the way, I mean, Title IX was used to get rid of a lot of men's wrestling programs in the colleges.
Yes.
Which itself should be there should be a special place in hell reserved for those who. No, I'm just kidding. Go ahead, man.
The bill seeks to amend dozens of sections in the Civil Rights Act of 64 to add, including sexual orientation and gender identity, any place the category of sex is protected. Essentially, what this means is that scholarships for women, grants for women, business loans for women, and restrooms for women, among other things, could legally be awarded to or used by men. Both conservative Christian organizations and liberal radical feminist organizations are banding together in protest of this change.
Who would ever thought that would happen?
I would never see those two groups together, and hopefully something good could come out of it. You know, this would be a chance to witness to them.
So, yeah. Oh, yeah. Always use the opportunities, man.
You know, some are even arguing that if the Equality Act passes, it will erase women altogether.
Especially in sports.
Yeah.
I mean, come on. We could go down to the local college here and say we identify as, 6'2" Chinese American women, and, you know, we want to be on the track team or whatever, you know, shot put. And they couldn't say anything.
Yeah. Yeah.
Just, I don't know, maybe I'm wrong on it, maybe I'm oversimplifying it, but that's just, it's just insanity.
I didn't remember, you know, just because the answer is simple doesn't mean it's not right. You know, I think, you know, when you start overcomplicating things, that's where we tend to get off track, and, you know, this is a very big example of it. Now, the fourth thing this is this Equality Act is going to affect, it's going to affect your kids.
How so?
Well, it will. This act will allow male students to enter female restrooms.
Oh, here we go.
Oh, yeah. Yes. But it will also hinder parents' authority over their children.
That, and again, this is stuff that's been ongoing, but yes. Now it's going to get federal weight behind it.
Exactly. Now, according to the Heritage Foundation, the bill will politicize the medical industry, creating conflicts with parents, doctors, and the government. House Minority Whip Stephen Scalise, a Republican from Louisiana, said of the Equality Act that it is the most invasive threat to a parent's involvement in children's medical decisions that he's ever seen. Now, the Heritage Foundation reports that the Equality Act will force doctors to ignore parents' wishes and give kids, no matter the age, transgender operations and puberty blockers if the child asks for it. This means that even if a parent simply wants to allow their young child to be an adult before making a life-altering decision to transition from one gender to another, but the child asks for the procedure, the doctors must comply child's wishes.
Is this age yet to be determined? I heard somewhere they're talking 4 years old.
Yeah, in some instances, yeah, as young as four.
That's just insane. Yeah, you gotta get a note and jump through hoops to give a kid an aspirin at school. Yet, I mean, we've talked about this before, how they help us in certain school districts. They'll help you to the abortion facility without ever informing the parents.
Exactly.
It's insane. The stuff going on is insane.
You know, this is, if you can remember back when, you know, Bill Clinton was president, you know, and Hillary wrote that book, It Takes a Village, okay? This is the evolution of it, okay? This is the logical, well, I wouldn't even call it logical, the illogical extension of this book. Because if it takes a village to raise your child, then the village are going to be the ones that make the parental decisions and not the parents themselves.
Yeah. That whole idea, by the way, that's a subject for another time. But yeah, from what I found out, that whole idea was from some tribal leaders fooling some, I can't remember the lady who wrote about it years ago. Anyway, let's move on.
Yeah, so Steve Scalise, he explained to the CBN News saying, the son can actually go to a doctor without the parents' involvement at any level, even if the parents object vocally. Under this bill, the doctor has to treat the boy to ultimately transfer over to be a female. And he says, he's not even talking about 18, 19, and 20-year-old kids. He's talking about 8, 9, 10, 11, 12-year-old kids.
Oh, my goodness.
This is happening, too. Now, according to Republican Congressman Vicki Hartzler of Missouri, cases like this are already happening in individual states. In Ohio, there were parents who had their parental rights taken away from them because they refused to go along with giving hormone treatments to their teenage child. Hartzler also warned that doctors who refuse to do transgender procedures on anyone, including kids, can face legal ramifications. So that's let's say that you're a Christian doctor.
It's just like the abortion thing. Yeah.
Exactly. You're a Christian doctor, and this kid comes to you and says, hey, I want to transfer over from being a boy to a girl. You have to do this. Well, if this doctor, this Christian doctor, you know, he refuses on, you know, his moral beliefs, then, you know, the doctor ain't going to be in a whole lot of trouble here.
Yeah. So it's either you're going to stand up for the Lord, which could cost a lot. You got to be prepared to lose everything for the cause of Christ, really. You really have to be, because that's what it's going to come down to. And, you know, for decades in this country, for a couple hundred years, you know, it didn't matter because we weren't forced with that.
No.
But now it's coming down to it, you know. The who's it, Coach Tom? What do you say? The bar is the bar. The what we're expected to do from the Lord, it stays the same. It doesn't fluctuate.
No.
But anyway, man, I'm rambling. Go ahead. So we ready to move on to the next thing here?
I think we are.
All right, brother.
We covered those, especially the four things that you really have to watch out for as a Christian. And, one of the things you can always do and should always do is pray.
Yeah.
About this.
Oh, amen. We have to seek and cry out to the Lord for help. Number two, we have to put ourselves in position. Like, again, voting. Yes. Quit voting in liberal Democrats, because this is the insanity that we end up with. I don't care how nice they look, how nice they dress, how charismatic they are. It's all what do they believe? What are they pushing? Quit voting for Satan, actually.
Yes.
So, anyway, yeah. Brother, what is H.R. 1?
H.R. 1 is called, and this is, as soon as I heard what it was called, I was like, okay, here we go again. It's called For the People Act of 2021. And this is in response to the 2020 presidential election. Now, one of the things that that we saw consistently during this this election was how wide scale the cheating was.
You know, it's just funny, and believe me, I worked with some really brainwashed people. I mean, not all, of course, but I still see comments from them online where they're like, "Oh, there was no evidence of any." What am I looking for? Sleaziness.
Fraud.
Fraud. Okay, yeah. There you go. Truckers, bringing in truckloads of ballots and stuff that were from out of state, dumped. Go ahead, brother.
I'm astounded by it also. Okay, so what this bill is going to basically do is it's going to give one party all the power. It's going to...
In regards to the election.
To any election in the future. And this is right. What's scary.
And how so?
Well, what it will do, it will federalize and micromanage the election process administered by the states, imposing unnecessary, unwise, and even unconstitutional mandates on the states, and reversing the decentralization of the American election process, which is essential to the protection of our liberty, our freedom, and our election integrity.
Okay. Can you put that in like layman's terms?
Yeah, I can do that. So what H.R. 1 would do, it would seize the authority of the states. Now, if you look at elections, whether it's from dog catcher at the local level all the way up to the president of the United States, okay, depending upon which state you live in, there are certain laws that are in effect. You have to register to vote. Each state has their primaries at different times, different ways of going about it.
You got to be a citizen.
You got to be, exactly. we saw in the last election, that didn't matter. So what this would do is it would take the different laws that each state has on elections and totally erase them and put them under one big umbrella. Now, some people would say, that would be a matter of convenience. What would be wrong with that?
Yeah, on one side, you could say, well, they're streamlining it, it all, But what's the downside?
Well, the downside is...
Where is that power? Who's going to have that power?
It's going to be the federal government. And the more power you give the federal government, the more you're handing your rights over. Originally when the Constitution was written, it was set up and designed that the states would have the most power, individual states, and not the federal government, and that's the way it should be. When you have an all-encompassing, federal government that has the power over your life, in just about every facet, you're beholden to that, to that power, or to that entity.
I thought I read somewhere that this is going to be turned over to the D.C. Well, the federal government, but the politicians specifically within the District of Columbia.
Yeah. Well, yeah, that's
which
been proposed.
Which has always been and will always seemingly always be liberal Democrats.
Right.
Who we've seen how unscrupulous they can be.
Yes. So what H.R. 1 would do, like I said, it would seize the authority from the states. Okay. Now, they would force the states to implement early voting, automatic voter registration, same-day registration, online voter registration, and no-fault absentee ballots. So take, for example, the state of Michigan. Okay, the state of Michigan does not have same-day where you can register on the day of the election. Okay, so before the election, and I actually did the research on this, Michigan has a little over 5.2 million registered voters within their state. So how come on election day you had more than 6.3 million ballots cast?
Wait a minute. Is that some fuzzy math going on there?
Yeah, there's That's
over a million voters.
Yes.
And which way did that state go?
Went to Biden by less than 600,000.
Yeah.
So,
what's
you know,
that tell you? I mean, it doesn't take a rocket scientist to figure that one
and
out.
And they figure, okay, well, so if we make
Mike, there's been no tampering with the voting in the last presidential election.
No, of course not.
Only right-wing extremists believe that. And so, don't confuse me with the facts.
Exactly. So people would say, well, you know, what would be wrong with the federal government taking over the elections? Well, for one, it would make it easier to commit voter fraud. And it would promote chaos at the polls through same-day registration, as election officials would have no time, and I mean no time at all, to verify the accuracy of voter registration information and the eligibility of the individual to vote.
You know, not only you're talking about, is this person even an American citizen? Yeah. You could go in with, like, and say, I'm this person, go out, change into a different costume, come back in, and say you're somebody different. Do they even look for any verification?
You know, and a lot of these times, these poll workers, you know, how much training have they had to do their job? What kind of certifications do they go through?
I can't remember the last time. I don't know about you. I can't remember the last time somebody, when I was voting, they asked for ID.
Yeah.
It just...
Yeah, you can just walk in and say you're
in. Well, it's a small community. Most people, we know each other. But,
sure.
But I mean,
I hope you live in New York City or Chicago.
Hopefully
or LA.
That's not going on, and I suspect it does. But it's...
Yeah. Okay, so the other problem is, you know, you can't anticipate the number of ballots and precinct workers that would be needed at specific polling locations for same-day registration. Let's say that, you know, we live here in Washington County and there's 500,000 voters in Washington County. But on election day, 700,000 people show up. So basically, you know, the Washington County election officials, okay, we got 500,000 on the rolls. This is how many people we're going to have at the polls to be working. Well,
yeah.
200,000 extra people show up. You know, what kind of, you know, chaos comes from that?
Same day.
Exactly. You know, and it's...
So in your estimation, what would be a good length of time? Maybe like a month ahead of time? Minimum 4 weeks?
90 days.
Yeah,
because there are certain, you know, avenues that, you know, these election commissions can, you know, verify the veracity of, you know, somebody coming in saying, well, I live at 123 Happy Lane, you know, and I've been here... You know, so they can go to the Department of Motor Vehicles, they can go to the IRS, you know, all these different governmental agencies.
Yeah, a little bit of time to
exactly, but you also need the workers to be able to do it. You know, it has to be budgeted.
Yeah, the budget too. You know, you're
exactly
taking into account how much man hours are going to be spent doing this stuff.
Yeah, it's, you know, they're saying it would hurt voter turnout through 15 days of mandated early voting.
How would that hurt? Unless you're living under a rock, you know, it's coming up.
Exactly.
It's the way it's been for 200 years. And now it's like, okay, people are too, what are they saying? People are too stupid to see the election coming up?
Yeah, yeah.
It's just like.
Well, one of the things they said, you know, by diffusing the intensity of get out the vote efforts, okay, these grassroots, whether it be, you know, Republicans or Democrats, independents, you know, these grassroots organizations go out and they say, you know, get out the vote. And then they go around to different neighborhoods and This happened to me several times.
Campaign.
You know, during the last, you know, election, that they knock on your door, are you registered to vote? You know, and they ask you questions, do you want to register? You know, you go to the DMV, you know, it's on the forms. You know, any type of government form you're filling out now wants to know whether, are you a registered voter? Would you like to become one? So it would raise the cost of campaigns. Voters who vote early don't have the same information as those who vote on election day. They miss late-breaking developments that could affect their choices. So if you think Joe Blow from the Independent Party, who you're going to vote for, such a great guy, he's warm, he's charismatic, he's got my vote.
Looks great in a suit.
Exactly. You know, and 3 weeks before the election, okay, I'm going to go early voting, I'm going to cast my vote for him. 2 days after you do that, you find out this guy was an axe murderer, or he's an adulterer, or he's a child molester. You know, there's no recourse for you at that point to say, oh, I want to change my vote. Can I take my vote back?
Oopsies.
Okay. It degrades the accuracy of registration lists by requiring states to automatically register voters.
So this is we're dealing with how it affects individual states.
Yes. Yeah. It constitutes a recipe for massive voter registration fraud by hackers and cyber criminals.
Oh, goodness.
Yeah, they through online voter registration.
Who would be able to check? I mean, it'd be, it's just too many holes in that.
It would ban state voter ID laws.
So where is this? Is this law yet, or is it being...
It's passed in the House, and it's like, you know, it's just like the Equality Act. It's on its way to the Senate.
Okay.
It's in committees right now, and it'll make its way to the Senate. And, you know, like I say, you just the different things that they're proposing for this is, you know, it's downright chilling. One of the things this act does, it violates your First Amendment with respect to the vast range of legal activity.
So I was going to ask you, is this thing fair?
It's not. There's basically what it is, you're going to have one party get into power, and they're going to keep power by enacting laws like this. Okay, that are going to give their side a bigger advantage over the other side.
Yeah, what do you call that, overreach?
Yes, it's huge into overreach. Now, if you look at American elections, more than 87% of the time, the incumbent wins re-election, okay? With the exception of, you know, president, because that's every 4 years there's a presidential election, and he can only serve 2 terms. So, the IRS may even get involved with this. You know, and basically what they want the IRS to do is they want to, this is what's really scary. One of the things I was reading, and it said that the IRS would be able to take action, okay, against groups, nonprofit groups, who express a certain point of view. If the IRS doesn't agree with that point of view, they can come and shut them down. They can take away their nonprofit status. They can penalize them. So they're basically going to use the IRS.
Politicizing it. Yeah.
Exactly. You know, and we saw enough of that during the Obama administration when they were targeting conservative groups and conservative individuals with audits. And, this church said something negative about the Obama administration or Democrats in general. Well, we're going to take away your nonprofit status, your 501(c)s.
Yeah. Wow. Yeah.
You know, this is this is banana republic territory. You know, and that's slowly what we're evolving into. You know. You know, there's. This bill would just be, think of it this way, you know, you're walking into a gunfight with a knife, you know, basically what it is. The commission saying, okay, you got two participants here, this guy can have the gun, but this guy over here can only have a knife.
Yeah.
Well, you know, we're going to see the
outcome. Not very fair, huh?
No, it's not. So there's really no even-handedness in this. And it's designed to keep one party in political power over another.
It's horrible, brother. We got to pray, man. We got to seek the Lord. We got to do the best we can. And we have to stand up individually and stop being so. It's just like I say with witnessing, you know, we got to stop being so mousy in the corner. It doesn't mean you have to speak angrily. You could witness in love. But, you know, you could share truth without being, you know, arrogant, I guess.
Well,
been on the recipient. I've been a recipient of from people, liberals, just looking down their nose at me just so often. It's just we can't turn and do the same.
No, we can't.
You know, we're called to a higher standard, like I said before. And you gotta look at them as Jesus looks at them. They're deceived just like we were.
Well, and, you know, the other thing we have to do is, you know, we have to take these issues, you know, this Equality Act, you know, abortion, same-sex marriage, you know, all this stuff like this. And Christians have to – and I've said this once, and I'll say it till it'll be my dying breath, that we have to stop treating these as political issues. They're not. They are biblical issues.
These are all biblical issues. You know, people I love my brethren who don't want to get involved in the process, but they're actually aiding and abetting darkness coming down a pike that's going to just constantly overtake us. You know, and it's like I like pastors that won't talk about it and think everything's going to be hunky. Oh, we're great. You know, we got to love everybody. Yeah, love everybody. How about loving your grandchildren?
Sure.
They gonna have a chance to read the Bible, or in what year coming is like the Bible gonna be condemned as a book of hate speech and forbidden? You might laugh at that, but I can see it coming.
You know, the Voice of the Martyrs. You know, they, you know, which is one of our favorite organizations. You know, they do a great job of smuggling Bibles all over the world.
Oh, yeah, awesome. Yes. Donate to the Voice of the Martyrs.
Wouldn't it be a shame if this was one of the countries that we had to smuggle Bibles in?
Into our own country, yeah. Well, they're starting to look at that now. Some of the folks in Africa or some of the brothers there are, like, looking at us as a mission field. Right? And that's rightly so.
Yes.
Yeah.
One of my friends online that I have, he's a pastor in Uganda, in Tebbi, Uganda, a guy named Jeff Sasango. And him and I, we talk every day, you know, over Facebook Messenger. And he's like, you know, I feel bad because I had been to Uganda while I was in the service, and I've seen the conditions that these people live in. And here he is praying for us.
Yeah.
You know, he says, hey, you know, even though we're living in squalor here and no running water and this and that, he says, you know, for what you guys are facing here in your country, he says, man, we're doing double duty here, really praying, doubling down on praying for you guys.
God bless them.
You know.
God bless those guys.
You know, but here's the thing, you know, you were talking about, you know, some of our Christian brethren who, you know, they're sitting on the sidelines and they're not getting in the game to try and stop this evil. Well, you know, I have a slightly different view on that.
Go ahead, man. Go ahead.
This is the sin of commission versus the sin of omission. When you see evil happening and you stand by and do nothing about it, you know, you're going to have to answer for that. On Judgment Day, the Lord's going to say, "Hey, you know, in 2021, you could have stood in line, you could have helped vote that person out of office, or you could have witnessed to that person, or did this and that to prevent this abomination of legislation from being passed. Yet you did nothing."
Oh man, I covered that biblical concept when I did that message on abortion, and there is a couple scriptures that talk about that. If you stand by and do nothing while this is going on, you're going to be held accountable as well.
Yes, you're just as guilty.
Like, man, come on. We need to, again, it's not a buffet. We got to take the whole word. And forgive me for not remembering what those scriptures were. I'm getting old and... So stop hitting me in the head, Mike.
I'll try.
Do we get anything else, brother?
No, that's it. I just want to say one last thing here, you know, that, you know, as Christians, you know, obviously, you know, what these people are trying to do, you know, it's a terrible thing. And first and foremost, we have to pray for them. You know, if you write them a letter, you know, show up at their congressional office, ask to speak with them, pray for them, you know, show them, you know, a friend of ours, who's a pastor down in North Carolina, I'm not going to mention him by name, but he always said that, you know, you know, your personal testimony is 100 times more powerful than any sermon a pastor can give from a pulpit, you know.
Okay.
You know, okay. And we have to keep that in mind, you know, that, you know, we go in, you know, and we see these people and we witness to them and we're showing them, you know, that, you know, that we're living a Christian life and it can be possible to do this. And it may change their minds because a lot of times, and we're living in a type of society where actions speak louder than words, you know.
Always.
Yes.
Always. Is that it, brother?
Yes, it is. And I just, you know, want to thank everybody that listens and, you know, we're praying for all of you.
God bless you, Mike. Thank you so much for giving us a little insight into the legal arena. And guys, we'll see you next month. Until then, look up. Our redemption is drawing nigh.
Amen to that, brother.